This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي أما بعد. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah and I testify that Muhammad is the prophet and the messenger of Allah. Sisters in Islam online and at the center, and we look forward to more sisters coming to the center given that today is the first day that we can have more than 50 people at the UMA center, given that the UMA center falls at the community center and we are allowed to have one person per 4 square meters. So alhamdulillah, things are easing off and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things easier upon us all. And we are very fortunate living in this country because things are easier here than any other country. And inshallah, also welcome our sisters online and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all for your time and efforts in sacrificing this time to be part of an environment that reminds ourselves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be with Allah, to connect ourselves to Allah and to be stronger with Allah. In particular, after the month of Ramadan, the month of fasting, the month of Salah, the month of the Quran, the month of getting closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, we need to continue maintaining getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always. Today's topic is a very important topic. It's very dear to me. Why? Because we're talking about not only istiqamah, but we're talking about istiqamah in the Salah, because Salah is your istiqamah. Salah is your istiqamah. When you're steadfast in your Salah, you are 50% there. With the many, many different actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained upon us, Salah is the most important one. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes and says that the salah is what makes you successful in the hereafter, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, in the hereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring his servant forward. And the first question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask his servant in the hereafter is the salah. The first question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask you in the hereafter is the salah. If you succeed in the salah, then you had passed the exam. If you fail with the question of the salah, then you had failed the exam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who will pass this great exam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who stand before Allah Azza wa Jal with their heads up high to be proud of their obedience to Allah Almighty. So the salah. And due to the importance of the salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention of the salah in the Quran al-Karim over 70 times. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats the mentioning of an important worship and ritual, this is an indication from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the importance of this matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing. So when Allah azza wa jalla talks about the salah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats the salah and Allah says, aqimus salah, aqimus salah, aqimus salah, aqimus salah, fulfill and establish the prayers, fulfill and establish the prayers over 70 times. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicating to you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating to you the importance of the salah. When you repeat something time and time and time and time over and again, 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 it means that this thing that you are repeating and this thing that you're talking about is so important in your life. So when Allah says to you, aqimu salah, aqimu salah, aqimu salah, aqimu salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is implying, Allah azza wa jal is implying on the importance of the salah. Allah is saying to you, the salah is so important to me. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated it so many times in the Quran al-Kareem. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam places the salah as the second most important pillar in Islam. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Islam is founded and established on 5 main pillars. And then the first thing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about, your main entry to Islam, which is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention as-salah wa iqamu as-salah, for you to establish the salah. From the many, many different rituals and the many, many different orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the salah comes second. After you enter Islam, the second most important thing for you to enter Islam with is the salah. To the extent that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what's between us and them is the salah. And those that don't pray, what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refer to them? As like them. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says them, he's implying to the non-Muslims, the non-believers. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the difference between us and them, us as Muslims and them as non-Muslims, is salah. So when you don't pray, you are like them. And that's why some of the scholars said those that don't pray, even though they believe in the prayers, they are considered to be non-believers. But the majority of the scholars say otherwise. But regardless whether you believe in it and you don't pray, or you don't pray because of laziness, if you believe in the salah and you don't pray, you are considered to be a disobedient. If you don't believe in the salah, And you don't pray, obviously I consider it to be a non-Muslim. So the scholars had disputed over this hadith, but regardless what the scholars had disputed, at the end of the day, not praying is a major, major, major sin. It's one of the major sins that the Sharia had mentioned to be a major sin. So the difference between us and them is the salah, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes mention. The difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is the salah. So if you don't pray, what's the difference between you and a non-Muslim? Even though you might be believing in the salah. And I know 99.9% of the Muslims, even those that don't pray, believe in the salah, but they're just lazy. They're just lazy. They just can't be bothered in praying. And that's wrong. You can't be bothered doing so many things in your life. But when it comes to the salah, you don't want to pray. When it comes to connecting yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're lazy. Subhanallah, who's lazy to go to work? I know that every single one of us wishes not to go to work. But at the end of the day, you still go to work. Because you don't give yourself the option. You don't give yourself the option. Likewise, you should not give yourself the option of you not praying, not you establishing the praise. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the salah directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's due to the importance of the salah. All the other regulations, orders, commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the vast majority of them came through Jibreel. Through Jibreel alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal it to Jibreel. Jibreel alayhi salam will come down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will convey it to his followers. Except the salah. That was the only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow anyone between him and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed it directly to Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Jerusalem to the seventh heaven, to above the seventh heaven, to Sidrat al-Muntaha, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went past a line, went past a boundary that no human being or creation of Allah had ever gone past. And he met with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the salah. Allah gave him the greatest gift that he had granted any servant of his and any human being. And that was the salah. Subhanallah, the salah. And we all know the amazing story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the salah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back running with 50 salah. 50. Look at the excitement to me. Just reflects upon the excitement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How excited the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him and his nation to pray 50 times a day. And he divided that 24 hours over 50. That means you'll be praying every 27 minutes. Every 27 minutes. And subhanallah, we pray every 5-6 hours and we're struggling in maintaining the salah. Can you imagine if it was every 27 minutes? But that's not the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making is how excited the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him 50 prayers. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed him and came back. He did not even think twice. Can my nation do it? Or my nation can't do it? Is my nation fit or not fit? Would it be too much of my nation? To be honest, it's not like in a... It's not hard to think about it, but 50 prayers during the day, it is hard. And it's not like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't think about it, but the excitement that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in, that he just took that 50 prayers straight away and came to us. Didn't even think twice. You know what? What a beautiful opportunity. But then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was stopped by Musa alayhi salam, and Musa told him to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell Allah azza wa jalla to reduce him. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming back with 50 prayers to us. Can you imagine if he came and said, Allah orders you to pray 50 times? We are struggling to establish 10% of that 5 times a day. But then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked Allah azza wa jalla for reduction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduced it 5, other narrations say 10, until it went down from 50 to what? To 5. But there's one thing that Allah maintained, the rewards. The number from 50 to 5, that's the number of prayers that you pray. But Allah kept it. The same rewards. Same rewards. It's like you go and apply for a job. And then your manager or your boss tells you, look, I want you to work for me 40 hours. And then you negotiate. Say, okay, you work for me 4 hours a week, but I'll give you the pay of 40 hours. You look at it and say, wow, that's crazy. Yes, it's crazy. It's crazy from this manager. But from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's rewarding. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the rewards of 50 prayers, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduced the practice of those 50 prayers to 5 times a day. So this is the salah. And why we're talking about the salah today? Because the salah helps you to be steadfast. Thus Allah helps you to be steadfast. And I know steadfastness is a big challenge. It's not easy. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself said how struggling it is to be steadfast. And he's the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had an extra of grey hairs on his beard, one of the Sahaba said to him, "O Messenger of Allah, we could see an increase of grey hairs on your beard." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "The verse in Hud had made my hair go grey." What verse is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam referring to? "Fastaqim kama umirt," O Muhammad, Allah commands you to be steadfast. So steadfastness is a challenge. Steadfastness is not easy. It's hard. But what would help you to be steadfast is the salah. Salah helps you to be steadfast. It starts with the salah. It starts with the salah. Yes, there's other elements. There are other elements and other aspects that will help you to be steadfast. But the most important aspect, the most important ritual, the most important ibadah, the most important aspect that will help you, an element that will help you to be steadfast, is the salah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." Indeed, salah will prevent you. Salah will protect you. The salah will protect you from the fahsha and the munkar. The salah will protect you from evilness and committing sins. A man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam after he had heard that verse, and he said to him, "O Messenger of Allah, then what would you say about a man? What would you say about a man that worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prays to Allah azza wa jalla and continues to commit the sins?" What did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam say about him? "Then this man is not praying." "Ya Rasulullah, I pray and I fast, but I continue to commit sins." In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "You are not praying." That doesn't mean that when you pray, your salah is not accepted. Your salah is not valid, even though that you are committing the sins. No. The scholars agree. Even though you are committing the sins, if you are praying and you are praying your prayers with the valid conditions, and you pray the prayers by fulfilling all the other conditions, your salah is valid. Even though before or after you go and commit sin, your salah is valid. But the scholars also interpret that the salah should be helping you to keep away from the haram. So if you are praying and continue to do the haram, then there's something wrong. "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha." That salah protects you from the fahsha, and salah protects you from the munkar. Salah protects you from the evil doings. The salah protects you from the sins. The salah is there to help you to be steadfast. And subhanAllah, you imagine that day, and inshallah you'll never experience that, and you never have it in your day, but a day that you don't pray in or the day that you pray in. SubhanAllah, when you pray, the prayer helps you. When you have salah in your life, especially when you pray your prayers on time and you pray your prayers in accordance to the way the Prophet Muhammad had prayed, it helps you to be steadfast. It helps you to be on the right path. It helps you to stay connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the day that you don't pray, it's like subhanAllah, you've got all your doors and windows open in your heart and you are welcoming any thief or any stranger or any intruder to come in. Subhanallah. That's how it is, the salah. The salah is your gate. The salah is your door. The salah is your window. The salah is what protects you. The salah is what protects you, and the salah will continue to protect you. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." The salah protects you. The salah abstains you away from the fahsha, the evil deeds, wal munkar, and the sins. The salah will protect you, and the salah will continue to protect you, and the salah will continue to keep you on the right path. Because last week what we said, istiqamah is not only being persistent on the good deeds, but also be persistent, keep it away from the haram. That's istiqamah. Some people think of istiqamah, alhamdulillah, I'm praying my prayers, alhamdulillah, I come to the masjid, alhamdulillah, I fast my fasting, alhamdulillah, I give my zakat. But at the same time, he's committing haram. That's not istiqamah. Istiqamah is that you continue doing the right thing and keeping away from the wrong things. It's two things. Two things. Continuing to do the right thing and continuing to keep away from the wrong things. Continuing to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and part of worshiping Allah azza wa jalla is to keep from the haram. And if it's a choice between keeping away from the haram and doing an extra good, now you keep away from the haram. You have to keep away from the haram. What's going to help you to keep away from the haram is the salah. That's why the salah is the pillars. The salah is the pillars of Islam. Yes, there's no such hadith that says the salah is the pillar of Islam. But in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the pillars of Islam in one way or another, when he says, وَالصَّلَاةُ عَمُودُهَا, the salah, it's its pillars. Which means referring to Islam. So what keeps the foundation of Islam standing is the salah. So if you don't have salah in your life, then you've got no roof. You've got no walls. You might have the foundation, You might have Islam in your life, you might have La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in your life, but there's nothing there. It's just an empty land. What are you going to do with the empty land? You need something to be established on it. And your establishment, and Islam as your establishment and your home, is the salah. That's why, my sister, in Islam is so important that we maintain our salah. But today, we're not going to just be talking about, oh, sister, pray. No. Anyone could be praying. But there's something called essence. The spirit of salah. You could be praying, but where's your prayer in your life? There's got to be that reflection of the salah in your life. And one of the reflections of the salah in your life is steadfastness. And that's why we go back to that verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran al-Kareem. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. Indeed, salah abstains you away from the sins and the evil doings. That's one of the essence of the salah. A man asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do you say about a man that continues to pray and continues to commit the evil deeds and the wrongdoings? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is not praying. She is not praying. So one of the essence of the salah is to keep you steadfast. And part of that steadfastness is to keep you away from the haram. So if you are praying and you continue committing the haram, there's something wrong in your salah. In your salah, not in the salah. There's nothing wrong with the salah, but there's something wrong with you practicing your salah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the masjid. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the masjid. And he saw someone praying, and he was praying so fast. He saw someone praying, and this person that was praying, he was praying so fast. So after he had prayed, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was observing him. He was monitoring him. After he finished from the salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him. He said, come here. Go and repeat your salah. He did all the actions. He stood, he made the takbirat al-ihram, he was standing, he was reading Surah Al-Fatiha, he did ruku', he did the sujood, he did all the actions, all the rituals, all the practices that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rest of the Sahaba did. But then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, go repeat your prayers. He didn't pray. He saw something wrong in the speed, in the concentration, in the devotion, in the way he was doing things. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, go and repeat your salah. So he repeated the salah, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was observing him. And after he finished from the salah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him again, go and repeat your praise, and not pray. And the third time, after he repeated this prayer, the third time, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, you repeat your prayer, but this time you do 1, 2, 3, 5. Slow down your salah, focus, concentrate. Now that you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the salah is not about motions. Unfortunately, a lot of the Muslims take the salah as motions. Raising hands. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Malik Yamadin, that's it. Ruku', Sami Allah Muhammad. Motions. The salah is not about motions. There are essences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn from the salah. There are lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn from the salah. So those essences must be a reflection in your life. They must reflect in your life. And one of those essences that we connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why my sister in Islam, and I ask myself this question. When you pray, do you feel closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla after the salah? Or when you pray, it's just a normal prayer that you just prayed, and it's just a norm? Because every time you pray, every prayer should be a step closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just prayed Salat al-Dhuhr right now, I should feel one step closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. I just prayed Salat al-Asr, I should feel one step closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reality is, and I'm talking about myself here, I'm not pointing the fingers at anyone else. I'm talking about myself. We pray so many prayers, and after the prayers, it's still normal, still the same thing. It's like, here's $100, and here's another $100 on the top, and it's still $100. And there's another $1,000 on the top, and it's still $100. There's another $10,000 that I'm adding on the top, it's still $100. There's something wrong here. There's $100 here, there's $1,000 there. You put this on the top, it should be $1,100. But when you continue putting it on the top of $100, and it continues to stay $100, there's something wrong. It's like, you know, there's a hole in this bottle. You continue to fill it up, and just continues to flush down. So if you are praying, and you don't feel that sense of connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you feel that you're getting closer to Allah azza wa jalla, there's something wrong. Because the salah is about you getting closer to Allah azza wa jalla. Every salah should be a step closer to Allah. So yesterday when you prayed your 5-day prayers, you should have maintained 5 steps closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what you should have achieved. Today you're praying 5 times. Today is another 5 steps closer to Allah. Last week I prayed 35 prayers. That means I've maintained or I've managed to achieve and gain 35 steps closer to Allah. Which means you feel closer to Allah azza wa jalla.
And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that Allah says, which is a hadith al-Qudsi, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks on behalf of Allah azza wa jalla, but it's not a verse. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي, which is speaking on behalf of Allah azza wa jalla, hadith al-Qudsi, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّ. My servant continues to get closer to me through the non-obligatory worships until he becomes closer to me. And the most non-obligatory worships that we practice and we do is the salah. That's the most thing that you do every day. You don't fast every single day. Or how many days do you really fast as a voluntary or non-obligatory fasting? Not much. Donations, a bit more. But the specific worship that we do a lot more as voluntary, a lot more as a non-obligatory, is the salah. That's something that we do every single day. Every single day, we pray extra. Beside the two fajr, four asr, three maghrib, four isha, we always pray extra. So that's one worship and ritual that we are maintaining in performing and adding more and always doing more as non-obligatory worships. Do you feel that sense of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you feel that sense of being close to Allah azza wa jalla every time you pray a prayer? That's a question that we need to ask. So what happens here, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking on behalf of Allah azza wa jalla, and my servant continues to getting closer to me. So Allah is saying, my servant continues to get closer to me through what? Through the non-obligatory worships. And as I mentioned, the most worship that we do mostly as voluntary and non-obligatory is the salah. So for example, if you want to assess last week, and I'll tell you from all the different worships, which worship did you do more as a non-obligatory, as a voluntary worship? You're going to say, out of all the worships last week, I probably did more salah, more voluntary salah. I did more voluntary salah than voluntary fasting, than voluntary donation, than voluntary this, than voluntary. That's a reality today. I prayed more voluntary prayers than any other worship that I do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith that my servant continues to get closer to me through the non-obligatory, through the voluntary worships, until I love him. Until I love him. And when I love him, what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? When I love him, Allah is talking. Not the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is just passing on the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this hadith. So Allah says, I will continue getting closer to myself, and my servant continues to get closer to me through the non-obligatory worship, through the voluntary worship, until I love him. And when I love him, I become his eye or his sight that he sees with, his hearing and ear that he's with, his hand that he touches with, and his feet that he walks with. Which means what? You will only look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased from. You only hear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased from. You only touch what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased from. You only walk to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased from. And then the fruit comes. Then the gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. Until I become his hearing that he's with, his sight that he sees with, his hands that he touches with, his feet that he walks with. And when I become that, because I love him so much, because of his non-obligatory or her non-obligatory worship, that they continue worshiping me through. And if they ask me, I will give them. That moment you say, Ya Rab, give me, Allah gives you straight away. You're so close to him. You're so close to him. Subhanallah. When I ask you for money, is it like when your son or your daughter asks you for money? No. The closer these people are to you, the easier that you respond to them. That's natural. The closer, like when a stranger comes to you and tells you, look, sister, give me $100. Is it like when a friend comes and tells you, give me $100? No. The closer a person to you is, the easier you respond to them. So the closer you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the easier the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, and the faster the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to you. So when you become so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith al-Qudsi that when my servant asks me, I'll respond to him. And when he or she seek my forgiveness, I will forgive them. That's why my sisters in Islam, sometimes you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no response. Sometimes you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no reply. Not always, but one of the reasons is because you are distant away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like a stranger asking you for something, or it's like you're going to ask a stranger for something. But when you know this person or this person knows you, the answer is always quicker. The response is always quicker. When someone just calls you off the bat, out of the blue, and tells you, oh, you know, can you help with this? And you don't know this person, you're going to say, please, just let me look, I'll get back to you. But when it's someone so close to you, you think twice about it. And when this person is so close to you, like your children or like your parents, your response is going to be faster and quicker and more prompt because they're closer to you. Likewise, when you are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the response from Allah azza wa ta'ala will be faster, will be prompt, will be quicker. Your question or your dua or your supplication will be responded to. But you need to be close to Allah azza wa ta'ala. What are the avenues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to get closer to Him through? The salah. The salah is the greatest avenue. The salah is the greatest avenue. You become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the salah. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this hadith in the hadith al-Qudsi that my servant will continue to get closer to me through the non-obligatory and the voluntary worship until I love him, until I love her. And when I love her, I become her hearing that she is with, her eyes that she sees with, or sight that she sees with, her hands that she touches with, her feet that she walks with. And when she asks me, I'll respond to her. And if she seeks my forgiveness, I will forgive her. You became close to Allah. There's no barriers between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one thing, subhanAllah, one thing that we were taught in this Ramadan, one of the lessons that I have to say that we've been taught in this year's Ramadan during this pandemic is that there's no barriers between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless you put those barriers between you and Allah azza wa jalla. The reality is there's no barriers between us and Allah unless you establish those barriers between you and Allah azza wa jalla. And one of the things that we've learned at this Ramadan, for this year's Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for you, whether you are coming to the masjid or not, whether there's a crisis or not, whether there's a pandemic or not, whether you're at home or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for you. All you got to do is just knock on His door and speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah azza wa jalla, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to establish the salah because the salah will help you to be steadfast. And that's why my sister in Islam, if you are listening to us right now online, if you are struggling in your steadfastness in maintaining your relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all starts from the salah. If you are struggling in your salah, you're going to struggle in every single other ritual. You're going to struggle in every other worship. If you are struggling in your salah, if you are struggling to maintain your salah, you will struggle in every single other aspect and element of your life. The salah will keep you steadfast. Be steadfast on your salah. Be steadfast on your ibadah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the salah, you'll be steadfast with everything else. That's why when you pass the exam and the question of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the reckoning of Allah azza wa jalla hereafter, when it comes to the salah, you'll pass everything else. Very clearly stated by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about in the hereafter is the salah. If you pass that, you'll pass everything else. You fail that, you fail everything else. That means the salah will make up more than 50% of your steadfastness. If you are steadfast on the salah, you'll become steadfast on everything else. If you are struggling in your salah, you will struggle in everything else. You'll struggle in everything else. Without a doubt, you will struggle in everything else. Maintaining the salah. How do we maintain the salah? The salah, again, is not about motions, but the salah is about essence, lessons, connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that, when you pray, you must pray with the correct intention. Intention in the salah is so important. When you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah azza wa jalla. You're not praying because you want to please anyone else, or you want to please the people around you, or because, wallah, you're too scared from mom and dad. They are telling you to get up and pray. And if you're not going to pray, wallah, they're going to do something, or they're going to punish you, or they're going to keep you in your room or take something away from you. Now pray for Allah azza wa jalla and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my salah is for Allah and no one else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, when you pray, you need to also identify the prayer that you're praying. What salah are you praying? Are you just praying, or are you praying a specific salah? Because your salah is incorrect, invalid, if you do not specify the salah. Is it dhuhr? Is it asr? Is it maghrib? Is it isha? Is it fajr? Is it sunnah? Is it fard? Is it, what is it exactly? You need to identify that. And that comes back to focus. If you're not focusing your salah, you're not going to be focusing your intention. If you're not focusing your salah, you're not going to be focusing your intention. Sincerity in your salah. That this salah is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm standing before Allah azza wa jalla to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. You need to revive those things and let them resonate in your mind when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to remind yourself. When is it last that when we stood before Allah azza wa jalla, we reminded ourselves that we are standing before Allah? I remind myself that I'm standing in front of Allah azza wa jalla. I'm standing in front of my Lord. I'm going to be speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. The angels are recording this on me. Oh, you know what? Tick the box. Tick the box. We all have that. Tick the box. It's not about ticking the box. It's about connecting yourself to Allah Azza wa Jalla and making sure that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala accepts this salah from you. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that some people will fast in the month of Ramadan, the only thing they'll acquire and achieve or gain out of fasting is hunger and exhaustion. Hunger and thirst. And some people will be praying, and the only thing they get out of their prayer is being tired and exhausted. SubhanAllah. I don't want to fall in that category. When I pray, I want to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to make sure that Allah accepts this salah. I want to make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this salah from me. So it goes back to the intention. And that's why my sister in Islam, our predecessors, when it's time for the salah, they used to panic. Panic from what? I'm standing in front of Allah azza wa jal. The way that a lot of us panic when they stand in front of an authority, they stand in front of a judge, or they stand in front of a teacher, or they stand in front of their boss. They panic because these people are so high, and these are only creations of Allah Azza wa Jal. They panic. The Sahaba used to panic when they used to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It used to be a big, not stress, but a big consideration that I'm standing before Allah Azza wa Jal. They used to shake because I'm standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to think I'm standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. SubhanAllah, when we stand in front of a judge, when we stand in front of an authority, when we stand in front of a police officer, we panic and we shake because of the authority that these people carry. But in reality, you're a creation, they're a creation too. But now you stand in front of Allah, the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to be under a lot of stress, he used to say, when is the time for the salah? Because he knows he's connecting himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's stress relief. The salah is stress relief. How many times you come across sisters who stop praying because under stress? SubhanAllah, because you're going through stress, because you're going through depression, because you're going through a difficult time, this is the time that you need to increase from your salah. Not decrease from your salah, but it shows that the salah is just motions, gestures, actions. The salah is to relieve your stress and connect it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make things easy upon you. Another condition of you maintaining your salah, because you maintaining your salah will give you and grant you maintenance in your steadfastness in general. If you don't maintain your salah correctly, you'll struggle with everything else. You will struggle with everything. It's very clearly stated by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you struggle in your salah, you struggle with everything else. So put all the worships of Allah azza wa jal. Let's say there's 100 of them. Salah is 51%. The rest is 41%. If you struggle in your salah, you're going to struggle with everything else. If you struggle in salah, you struggle with everything else. If you maintain your salah and you succeed in your salah, you'll succeed with everything else. You'll move forward with everything else. From amongst the things that you need to maintain in the salah is praying your prayers on time, being conscious that this is a fulfillment that you need to fulfill to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not allow you to be too complacent and relaxed. Oh, I'll pray it later. No. Time for the salah, I'll drop everything and everyone and go and pray. Unless there's an emergency. Okay, not like they're going to leave something and this thing's going to cause you damage later or harm later. Oh, no. Sometimes, subhanAllah, we're nothing down, we don't even want to get up and pray the prayers. So we put nothing over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying the prayers on time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ. Hellfire for those who neglect and delay their prayers. So not praying is a sin, and delaying your prayers, even though you pray, is another sin. You pray on time. And when we say on time, for example, if Salat al-Dhuhr is at 12 o'clock, that doesn't mean that you have to pray at 12:01 or 12:05. But it also means that you don't go and pray at 5 minutes before Asr or 10 minutes before Asr. You need to put something, you need to put this threshold in your life. You never, ever pray your prayers at least half an hour before the next prayer. Put that in your mind. And if you set your life that I must be praying within the next 10 minutes from the Adhan, that's even better. Your life gets used to it. But when you become too relaxed and too complacent, you know what? Ask time for the salah, pray later. And then subhanAllah, how many times? You forget about even praying the prayers completely. Or you don't even pray the prayers. Or you just try and squeeze it in. It's like, you know, you're trying to squeeze whatever you could squeeze just to pray the prayer before it's ending time. That's wrong. Where's the care? Where's the consciousness and the mindfulness over the salah and the importance of the salah? So praying your prayers on time. Praying your prayers on time. When you are conscious of praying your prayers on time, then this will help you to be steadfast. And you'll find that the rest of the rituals in your life, the rest of the worships of Allah in your life are maintained. You'll find, subhanAllah, everything will start falling in place. But when you are struggling in praying your prayers on time, then you're going to be struggling in everything else. You're going to struggle in your fasting. You're going to be struggling in your zakah. You're going to be struggling reading the Quran. You're going to be struggling in your hijab. You're going to be struggling in your dress. You're going to be struggling in a lot of things. Maintain your salah. Also, in addition to that, when you pray with devotion, with concentration. Not Allahu Akbar and your mind is with the cooking. Allahu Akbar and your mind is with the washing. Allahu Akbar and your mind is with kids. Allahu Akbar and your mind is with this. Not Allahu Akbar, my mind is with Allah. You just said Allahu Akbar. What does it mean? Allah is greater than everyone. But you say Allahu Akbar here, Allah, ya Rabbi, you are greater than everyone. But here, you're not the greatest. Because here is somewhere else. It doesn't make sense. Mina. And that's why you start your salah with Allahu Akbar. What does that mean? Ya Allah, you are the greatest. And everything else is behind me now. I'm throwing and chucking and casting everything behind me. That's why you do this gesture. This is one of the reasons that we say Allahu Akbar by raising the hands, in which we're saying, ya Rab, you are the greatest. And I mean it. I'm putting everything behind me. Everyone is behind me. Just me and you, ya Rab. And this is your me time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your time you spend with Allah azza wa jal. There's five daily prayers. There's five daily prayers that you spend. That one-on-one time between you and Allah azza wa jal. That special time between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you need to give Allah azza wa jal that attention. Likewise, when you want your husband to give you attention, you want your parents to give you attention, when you want people around to give you attention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also deserves that attention, that when you say Allahu Akbar and you are praying to Allah, you mean it. And Allah knows exactly what's in your heart. At least other people could hide it. Other people, you could hide it from other people and other people could hide it to you. But you can't hide it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Rab, I mean Allahu Akbar, my full attention is to you. My full concentration is for you. My full devotion is for you. That will help you to be steadfast on the salah. Not only that, it will also help you to enjoy the salah. How many of us enjoy the salah? Yes, we pray. And we love to pray. But who's at that level that they enjoy the salah? Okay. You know who's at that level? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my heart is so connected to the salah. My eyes are delighted by the salah. He enjoys the salah. Enjoys it. You know when you really enjoy something, and the person enjoys the salah. That was the most enjoyable moment in your life and the most enjoyable thing that you've got in your life. To the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, praying to Allah is the most enjoyable and the most joyful and the most enjoyable thing for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most beautiful thing in his life. وَجُعِلَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ, that my eyes are delighted in the salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know when we talk about joy, happiness, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayer is his happiness, his joy, his comfort. Subhanallah. So not only that we want to pray, we want to love the prayers, and we want to enjoy the prayer. Make the salah enjoyable. Feel that, you know what, I really look forward to praying. I love the prayers. You know what, we just pray. Alhamdulillah, I'm looking forward to the next prayer. No, alhamdulillah, again, we're going to pray. We just finished. Again, how many times that he spent from the kids? Dad, we just prayed Salat al-Dhuhr. We're going to pray Asr again. And he just finished 3 hours from the PlayStation. Huh? Stuck on the PlayStation. Subhanallah, there's no joy, happiness. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached to that level that the salah was the most happiest moment in his life. Used to look forward to it. When he's under a lot of stress, what the Prophet Muhammad used to do? Bilal, the one that used to call for the salah. When is the time for the salah? That's his happiness. That's his joy. That's his stress relief. When you reach to that level, you'll find your entire life being steadfast. Subhanallah, perseverance and steadfastness is so important. That's why my sister in Islam is so important for us. That when we pray the prayers with the correct intention. We pray our prayers on time. We pray our prayers with full concentration and devotion. And important, we pray our prayers in accordance to the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray the way you see me pray. How do we pray? Not the way I saw my mom and dad pray, or my grandparents or my teacher pray. We pray in accordance to the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though your parents have taught you how to pray. Even though your grandparents are taught you to pray, even the Arabic or the Islamic schools are taught you to pray, but you need to revise it. We need to revise our prayers. Learn. Even though I already know how to pray, but revise it. Because you know, there's nothing more devastating when you see someone who's 6 to 7 years old, he's been praying all his life, and then you look at his prayers are incorrect because of one simple mistake. He's praying because he saw the sheikh praying that way, so he's praying like him. Or his mom and dad were praying that way, so he's praying like them. Now we pray in accordance with the word of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So do some revision. Go and seek knowledge. There's nothing wrong with it. Even inshallah, if you're 60, 70, 80 years old, go and learn. Go and seek knowledge. Go and learn. Go and put time and effort into learning how to pray in accordance with the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's where a lot of people get it wrong, especially people from the older age, where, oh, okay, I've been like this for my life. No, you need to change. And subhanAllah, there's nothing more devastating when you see an old man praying wrongly. And this person is sincere about his praise and is putting time and effort into his praise. But the prayer must be in accordance to the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not the way you saw your parents pray. Not the way you saw your mother and your father pray. Not the way you saw your teacher pray. Or the imam. You need to pray in accordance to the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, seeking knowledge. Seek knowledge and how to pray and how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed is also a virtue. It's a noble thing that you need to put time and effort into. So these are main things for us to keep our salah steadfast. Because when a salah is steadfast, everything else is steadfast. If you're struggling in your salah, then I'm sorry to tell you, you'll struggle in everything else. If you maintain your salah, you'll maintain everything else. So istiqamah, which is a very important element, aspect that we've been covering, it all starts from the salah. So if you are struggling to be steadfast, it means that you are struggling in your salah. The first thing that you need to assess in your life is the salah. The first thing that you need to look into is your salah. And when I say salah, I don't mean motions, intention, sincerity, focus, devotion, on time, in accordance to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah azza wa jalla make us to be from amongst those who listen in here. May Allah azza wa jalla accept from you all. We look forward to the company of all the sisters coming here every single Saturday. The UMA is officially open from today. So inshallah, Saturdays for the sisterhood, 1:30 p.m. All the sisters are welcome to come here. Please always maintain one person per 4 square meters, in which alhamdulillah here at the UMA we have 8,000 square meters in total, and at the center here we have 3,000 square meters, which means we could have up to 500 people. Inshallah, we'll get 500 people, but I can't see getting 500 people. However, just please abide by the regulations set by the authorities and health department. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you all, and may Allah make it easy upon us all. Keep us steadfast. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allah khair. Subhanak Allahum hamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.